Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. A show designed to give you a study into the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, to give you a bird's eye view and critical analysis while leaving no stone and a leaf unturned. And you may be asking yourself, well, why should I study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub? Certainly you should. You do your due diligence in your studies and study the Creator. Study everything that you think you know about it and then study some more. It should become redundant in your studies. And once done, you should make the right application in these studies. So, that being said, we're going to get into, I'm looking for my fellow host. But so it seems everybody on AWOL today. But nevertheless, we're gonna do our due diligence and bring these studies to your attention. We can't stop on this thing. There's some students out there, Radio Talk, Blog Talk radio station that are yearning for these studies, and we're aiming to give them to them. So, again, welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yom Suf Ari. We're going to do our due diligence in bringing these studies to you. We're morally obligated and duty-bound to do no less. And if you're wondering about the we, well, I'm going to ask Sister Abiyah to take a time out, because she's our gatekeeper, so to speak, and give Cartrell a call. Maybe he took a nappy nap and overslept. But while we're going on, I'm going to ask Sister Abiyah to place a call to Cartrell and see what's going on with the brother. Something may have happened because he don't normally miss out. So, but I do want to talk about Sister Abiyah. She's gone for the moment to give Cartrell a call. It's Cartrell from New York City, and Sister Abiyah from New York. She's from the Bronx. Sister Abiyah has been studying the Most High for going on 10 years and counting. And then these studies she has been doing her due diligence to ascertain and gather all the pertinent information in order to make the right decisions. And she's simply not been one to talk about it. Her actions are reflective of one being about it. And that's what the Most High would have us. A lot of people can run around talking about how I love the Creator. Ooh, yes, sir, Bob. I love him so very much. But the actions are not reflective of that. Not in regards to your nation. Not in regards to your Creator. It takes more than just simply saying you love the Creator. Your actions of your love should be reflective of that. Toward the people he loved too, which is your nation and your Creator. So we try to give you these in-depth studies. And as I said, Sister Abiyah has been studying the Most High going on 10 years. And she has been diligent in her studies. As I said, they have reflected her love for the Most High and her due diligence and study and for her brothers and sisters. It has affected and reflected upon her so much that she has become an elder in this growth process of us in the rebuilding of this nation. If you go to yahwehgather.ustogether, you'll see her there. And you can learn a whole much more than Sister Abiyah Cartrell or I there. You'll find out about restoration and the building of a nation. And you can help assist as she has helped assist in the rebuilding of this nation. And she has been financially instrumental in doing a whole lot for this nation. She don't just talk about it, she bees about it. And also in regards to individuals, people of this nation, her action has been reflective of a love for the Most High and a love for her nation, her people, because we all we got, and she knows that. That's why she tried to do the best she can with what she had to try to help us. So please don't be calling her phone looking for a handout. Do the best you can on what you got to help who you can in this nation. This nation needs you, and you need your nation. And it's been indicative of that by her actions. As I said before, and I will say again, she's not one of those sisters that goes around beating a horn, braggadocious. Her actions are reflective of her humility and her love for the Most High, which the Most High love those kind of people, humble people in love, and an actual reflector of that humility and love. Praise Yah and bless His holy name for Sister such and so, Sister Abiyah. And thank you again, Sister Abiyah, for contacting Cartrell, whom I'm about to speak now. Cartrell is a brother that you can depend upon. Oh, might not. You don't know what that brother got going on. You can't stop what he's doing. But it's like I told Abiyah, Cartrell don't hardly miss no show. But let me tell you something about it. His love and reflection for the Most High is indicative of his studies of the Most High. Beginning long before he became 14 years old, he thought he knew about him when he turned 14, but he didn't know about him at all. At that point in juncture in his life, his young life, Cartrell was looking for love in all the wrong places. He was being catfished, I imagine. You know what catfish is? Folks telling you who they is, what they is, telling the bald face lie, and they ain't nothing like they say they is. I imagine, I just, I got tired of being catfish like we all do sometimes. But Cartier wanted to find out what real love was. He went to the Most High in prayer through the virtue of King Darwin, Korah, sons of Korah, the Levites, Asaph, and so on and so forth. Cartier found out through the Most High, by virtue of those studies of the Most High Word, what real love, which he was looking for, was. In addition to that, the Most High gave him a physical love, too, in the case of his wife, children, grandchildren, friends, such as me, Sister Yehudi, Sister Avia, Imadura, and so on and so forth. See, you can get plugged in. You can get plugged in wrong and continue to be catfish all your life. You can get plugged in the Most High, and he'll give you what you need as far as love is concerned. 14 years old, and he's still with us, going on 66 years in counting. Again, Cartrell had to provide. He knew he had to provide for his wife, his family. No, he wasn't one of those type of brothers that sit around all day long on the couch playing video game while mama putting in work, eating bun buzz and cupcake while I watch reality shows. He made reality by taking care of his wife. And he wasn't one of those type of brothers that had a thing about being a man. It's a man's world. No, he wasn't like that kind of man. Beating his chest, wearing tattoos from head to behind, buttocks. Saying because he had some tattoos, he was some sort of man. No, he was a real man. Still is a real man. And Cartrell knew that he had to get a job to take care of his woman, provide for his family. Cartrell went to the Most High again in prayer. Although he's a highly educated brother, because he still learns, he still studies, just like Yom Suf HaAriyah, and we still sharpen each other. It doesn't stop till our caskets drop, truth be told. But Cartrell went through the Most High by virtue of his prayers to King David again, the sons of Korah, the Levites, Asaph, and so on and so forth. Cartrell was going for strength to overcome his fears of heights so he can do his job in carpentry, the profession that he chose to provide for his family. The Most High gave him wings to hide beneath the pinions of, gave him a rock to stand on, a buckle of shear, and his high tower. During those troubling times, provide for his family, to overcome his fears of heights. Cartrell thought perhaps he was going to do two or three stories about the gist of it. Come to find out he had to do those skyscrapers, they call, such as the Twin Towers that fell in 2011. And also that Seven Tower that fell also. Cartrell worked on that very one. And the Most High gave him what he needed by virtue of asking. And Cartrell was very appreciative. He wasn't ungrateful like some of us. We get what we want, we get ungrateful and nasty. I don't need you. What you doing is for me, though. You know, he didn't get like that. He know he needed the Most High. He didn't play about it. He was about it. And he thanked the Most High. He was grateful. Not like some of our ungrateful behind. They like to put the Most High on the back burner. I don't need you. I got what I want. It's all about me. No, he wasn't that kind of brother. He knew that he needed the Most High every day of every minute of every hour of his life. And he showed his appreciation. Not only that time, but every morning when he got up, every afternoon when he got up, when he clocked out, Cartrell would thank the Most High for assisting him. That shows gratefulness and humility, unlike some of our ungrateful behinds. It's true. Praise the Most High and bless his holy name for that. Let me bring him on for you. Sister Avia, thank you very much again for contacting Cartrell. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, brother and family. May the Most High bless all and all praises and glory to Yah. Listen, I didn't get no reply, but you say he's on?
He's on. Yeah.
Okay, because I started to say he might have been. I started to say he might have been snoring too loud to hear the phone.
I didn't say that, Cartrell. That's your friend. That was funny.
Praise
God. Love you, bro. We don't want no trouble. God, Trail. Thank you, Sister Abby. Thank you for being on. We love you, too. God, Trail. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. Bless y'all, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah, I'm here. What you worried about? I wasn't going to make it.
Well, just glad you're here.
We don't want no trouble, brother. We don't want no trouble.
Sound like that's trying to stir up something.
No, bro. We ain't like Michael Jackson. Want to be fighting something. Got to be. No, that ain't us.
So everything is flowing, right? You made your introduction. You played the song. Introduced us to Abia. And I'm right here.
Yeah, but you didn't answer the phone. That's why I said I think you were snoring too loud to hear the phone.
No, my phone ain't go off at all, Mama. Not at all.
Well, I don't know what's going on.
But I know my time.
This phone has been acting up. I guess the towers are carrying crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you what my Mexican-American said. Friends, me no speak no English. Me no speak no English.
Well, you understand it.
Well, when the police call, yeah, well, no, I got license, amigo. I got license.
Yeah,
you ain't got to worry about me. I'm here.
Exactly.
Y'all sent out the search party for me?
Yeah, we put out the search party.
Hey, come back home.
That's all me. Well, I normally see your first quarter. I didn't see your first quarter. When I don't see your first quarter, I had some concerns.
You pressed the panic button.
Yeah, I was panicking. I need to help. I need to be sharpened. I need to master the sharpener to be there. Sharpen.
Yeah, working in the world of universal white supremacy. Being a union officer, trust me, they don't play with time. And I'm more for y'all than I am for them. So
exactly.
you ain't gonna worry about me. I'm going to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much, brother. Thank you very much. That being said, I can cover what you just said. If I can get there, I'm going to get there, just like you. If I can get there, I'm going to get there. And I'm very appreciative. Your sister Abby, y'all, have along with these things. So we need some sharpeners that sharpen what they're sharpening. And you sharpen. So I'm just need to sharpen it. You sharpened me up yesterday when you were telling me about Mother Eve. The reason, the pregnancy itself wasn't the reason, it's childbirth. It's the pain associated with it. Man, if they didn't. That's why I say you can learn something every day of the week, every minute of the hour. And that's certainly sharp. Man, I'm very appreciative. Believe that. Sometimes you study so long, Cartier. Sometimes you get heavy things you study. That's why you got to keep at it. It doesn't stop till the casket drops. Our caskets. Because the universe is our university. We're still in the university. Like,
you know what I learned, Youngson?
What's that, brother?
The more you know, the more you know there is to know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, brother. Exactly. And I'm very appreciative of both of you. I'm very appreciative of the students that me over 4,000 something, going on 5,000 students. Some are still growing. For the people that love to come and study right along with us. Because they know we're not pretentious, pontificators. Self-righteous, ego run amok. They know we're serious about the most. And those that don't come, they ain't serious about it, I suspect. That's why they want to hang out. What is this saying, Katria said? Birds of a feather flock together. And you better believe
it. No doubt.
It's
so,
true,
so, so, if y'all out there, send a dollar. We ain't trying to break your bank account. A dollar ain't gonna hurt you. Come on
show
now.
Some love. Come on now. Okay, send it to YahwehGather.us together. So we put that money to work. YahwehGather.us together.
We ain't naming ourselves Tuflo Dollar or TD Jake, but we definitely doing y'all's work. We're trying to help the 40 needy, fathers, mm-hmm. and the widow.
Right.
And your blessings will bless the 40 needy and the fathers and the widow. And y'all's watching that. He's looking at that.
So we can put it to work. So y'all, excuse me for a minute. What you say? Stop whispering. I'm talking. I can't hear you whispering. Okay. My wife said, y'all will gather that up. How can I hear such shit that? I can't hear nothing like that. I'm appreciative. Tell me like a deal. Tell me like a deal. My wife over there.
Listen. Don't put your wife on the spot. She's the backbone, brother.
Oh, yeah, and I appreciate it, but I couldn't hear the backbone talking back. Cuttrell, she was whispering. I couldn't hear the backbone whisper.
She didn't want to be loud or rowdy. Clean your ears out.
You know what? You sisters always trying to ride or die together. Yeah, whatever.
Your wife is there listening in. My wife, yeah. She's so quiet. You don't even know what her name is.
Do you think she listened to the show?
No, she ain't listening to the show. My wife ain't listening to the show. She more involved with family. You know what I'm saying? See grandma.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
You know how grandmas do.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? I'm not going to say nothing about your wife because that's your wife. And I respect that. Other than that, you know what? She's a good woman. She's got a good man. That's all I need to know. Okay?
40 years.
Yeah. 40 years. She's a good woman. And I suspect, and I know about what I know about you, what you say about you. You're sort of like a private person, like Young Soup. Young Soup has said some things about his name for educational purposes. I don't say things about me to be braggadocious. And you can't really realize it. Abby, I realize that. But I said I would use me as an educational purpose. And when I said take a ex-food advice, I really mean that. And so I just use me as an educator because I ain't nothing special. What King Dawah said, I'm lower than a dog. That's the way Yum Su feel about himself. I'm lower than a dog. And so if the Most High has taken mercy and pity upon me and have blessed me, I'm very appreciative. I don't deserve it. And my inequities, some of y'all running around, you're worried about your little skeletons in your closet. Let me tell you something. Yum Su got the whole cemetery in here. I've been undigging bodies all since 2003, I've been undigging up bodies and replatting. So if the Most High can do it for me, he can do it for you. So if the Most High can take you from the gutter and make you a person, a spokesperson for him to tell his truths, to have good people like Cartrell and good women like Abiyah that love you and appreciate the work that you're putting in for the Most High, that speaks volumes. There used to be a time people didn't even want to see me coming in the attic. They'd run back the other way. Now they love to see me coming. It's true. So take an exclusive place. If the Most High can do it for you, can do it for me, he certainly can do it for you. And don't think anybody better than me. Yeah. Go ahead, Cartrell.
All the brothers we admire, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Moshe. Mm-hmm. Joshua. Kelly.
Right.
What's their wife name? What's their wife's name?
They don't really say anything about their wife's person.
All right, so don't worry about what my wife's name, what she's doing. Y'all put me in the forefront, like Moses and Joshua and Kelly. All right?
Exactly. I can dig
in. You my wife. All you got to do is support me.
Exactly. I can dig it. I don't need no backup system. Yeah, long as she, I know she loves me and she does what the Most High says, that's all I need. Long as she loves
me. Some women.
Yeah, we good.
There's some women in our nation that step forward beyond their husbands.
Exactly.
That connect with the Most High for the benefit
and
of the nation.
My wife way, right. If the Most High called her for something to do what he wanted to do, I wouldn't get in the way. You know, but I'm going to still do my thing. She do her thing. We do our thing together.
So brothers disrespecting our women is something that we've learned from universal white race supremacy, social engineering, because our ancient fathers at least allowed Moses' mother to connect with Yah, or the prophet Samuel, who was so key to our nation. Samuel's mother, Hannah, right? It wasn't Samuel's father. It was Hannah's mother. It wasn't Samson's father. It was Samson's mother that the Most High connected with to deliver the nation from the oppression that we were suffering. So these are things we have to learn. Some women, they step forward.
Right.
And they're more prominent than their husbands.
Exactly.
And then they're the husbands who we don't even know the name of the women they were married to, like Joshua, Caleb.
Exactly.
Or, you know,
Samuel. That being said, too, Cartrell, Mordecai had a significant role, but the more significant role in that story, his story, is the queen, Queen Esther. She played a much more prominent role. And he didn't have no problem with Queen Esther playing a prominent role with the Most High. It didn't matter to him because it didn't mean nothing. What mattered to Mordecai was the nation. What mattered to Queen Esther was the nation, her concern for the nation. And Mordecai's concern for the nation, although she played a more prominent role, much more than Mordecai. They both did.
And Mordecai had confidence in her, didn't he? And she would stick to the codifications, even though she was queen.
Right.
Esther stuck to the codes. Don't matter that I'm married to the king of Persia. I need to be concerned about God's people, my people.
Right.
In spite of my position. So she knew the codes, and she followed them. And the people that supported her followed the codes along with her, which is why we were saved during the time that we was under captivity, because your man was about to kill us. What was his name?
What was it? Hammond? Was it Hammond? Cadriel? Hammond, I believe.
Hammond. Right.
Yeah, Hammond. Mm-hmm.
He built a gallery to hang Mordecai, but it wound up backfiring on him. The gallery he built to hang him, he wound up being hung himself.
You better believe it. Contrera, that's why I don't worry about universal white race supremacists and a walking dead dry bone Negroes digging ditches for me or trying to roll souls on me. I just go to Most High in prayer. I let the Most High handle the light work. Because that's all they is, light work. You know, because Most High can handle everything. Yeah, you ain't got to seek no vengeance. Vengeance is mine, said the Elohim. Let the Most High handle it. Take them for the Most High. Let them, just like Hammond, he got healed. Tried to do Brother Mordecai in. He got done in, him and his family. By those same scoundrels. It's true.
And did the Brother Mordecai follow codes that y'all
he
gave us?
Every way.
All right.
Every which way. Just like Queen.
Did it help them?
Yeah.
Did it help them in the situation they were in?
Certainly.
And they didn't use an army. They didn't have mighty men.
None of that.
They used their spirituality, didn't they?
Exactly. Bingo.
They fasted. They cried out. They prayed to the Most High. Did the Most High answer them?
He certainly did.
Mm-hmm. Same formula as King David. That's what they did.
Exactly. And you know what, Cartrell? One more thing I like about the queen, our queen, Queen Esther. She was a humble type. She was a gorgeous woman by all standards. And not only was her gorgeousness, she was beautiful on the inside and outside. She was humble and a beauty before the Most High. She was humble in her relationship with her uncle. She was humble in a relationship with a nation. She wasn't like these sisters, some of these sisters. Now, now, I got mine. You better get yours.
Nothing like Beyonce, right? Nothing like Beyonce.
No. Nothing like that. Showing up all switching on the stage and whatnot. That woman was humble. That woman knew she was married, and she respected her Persian husband, although he was Persian. She ain't, well, you just Persian. I can do anything I want to do to you. No. She was humble because she had to represent herself and the nation. She had, most importantly, she had to represent the Most High, unlike some of us. Men and women alike.
And
I don't give a shit. It's all about me. I'm something special. Go ahead, Cottrell.
With all of that, Queen Esther put her life on the line.
I may do it now.
Queen Esther,
yeah.
She put her life on the line for the nation.
Exactly.
So she couldn't approach the king, her husband, without an appointment. So she approached the king, her husband, without an appointment.
Right.
But she fasted and she prayed and she connected with the Most High before she approached her husband, the king, without an appointment.
Yeah,
and when the king saw her, he's like, what's your problem, mama? Come on in. Let's talk.
You know why? You know why, Cottrell? Most importantly, not only her relationship with the Most High, but her character. Her character spoke value in a relationship with her husband. And she was no arrogant old Jezebel type woman, you know, just saying anything, doing anything, then think she going to get some favor. It don't work like that. This woman had integrity. She had real character. And she had established a relationship with her husband. And it paid off. Most importantly, it paid off by the work she put in and her character. And the work she put in with the LOM.
So we see the contrast, right?
Ain't nothing just going to fall out the tree, Cottrell. You reap what you sow.
So we see the contrast. We see the contrast. What's the contrast? Queen Esther, a beautiful Israelite sister, a virgin. She ain't displaying herself like Beyonce. Imagine you switch places with her and Beyonce. Do you think Beyonce would be concerned about her own people? Oh, no. Beyonce is only concerned about herself. That's the problem today that we have. Because Beyonce basically is the same position as Queen Esther. You have fame, you have power, and are you really helping your people, or is it all about you?
Right. You know,
and imagine if it was about Queen Esther, it was all about her.
Well, I've never cared that much about Beyonce. I saw no character. I mean, you gyrating on those stage is not reflective of character. And villain.
And you married.
And right.
You got a husband.
Right. I saw no character, Beyonce, and I still don't see any character. And as far as
Beyonce, can you imagine Queen Esther doing what Beyonce does?
Oh, hell to the no-no. Bro, stop. He would have held up and called to God. Don't get the little tramp up out of here. Get on out of here. Man, I ain't got
and no Beyonce is royal seed. She's the house of Israel. What are you doing, mama? What are you doing?
Your character.
Because you have admirers and people that follow you.
Right.
Women, young girls, and they think that you are it. But what are you leading our sisters to?
Gyrating on the stage, doing anything for anybody and think that's cool. That's what we're leading. That we're not leading them with the daughters that cared about not only themselves, their husband, and the nation, because it was a mutual thing. They knew every action they took, every step they made, everything they said was not only reflective on their husband, but their nation too. And men and women alike need to be cognizant of that fact.
So what kind of impact, right, would the daughters of the nation of Israel have now if they acted like Esther, if they acted like Hannah, if they acted like Moses' mother, if they acted like Samson's mother for the sake of the nation? I'm talking about Oprah Winfrey, Beyonce, all these women with power, right?
Yeah.
They have power to impact our nation, even now, our women.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it was,
but they're not doing it like the ancient women in ancient times because they're only worried about themselves.
the results will be different. It will be much more constructive and positive and non-toxic relationships.
How much could Oprah Winfrey help her own people?
A whole lot, brother. She's a billionaire.
How much could Beyonce help her own people?
A whole lot of people. She's a millionaire.
And the burden is really not on them, because we got brothers that are millionaires and billionaires. What are they doing?
Nothing. A whole lot of nothing. They're trying to establish themselves into the system of universal white race. That's their main interest.
Mm-hmm.
And keep their money coming. Truth be told. All right, Cottrell. Sister Abigail, listen. Y'all ready to get into some more description of this lovely temple? And if you are, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Cottrell, Sister Abigail, fellow students, well, y'all can. Y'all out there in radio land, y'all can, because y'all ain't doing them a reading or something along with us. Man. And I know that you can have usage of your computers. So I would ask you to go to your computers and you look up Ezekiel's temple. And then you can have some idea. It may not be a complete design according to what Ezekiel is seeing, but it's close enough to get an idea what they're talking about this temple. Already made. Steps by action.
So is that temple that we're reading about on earth yet?
No, it's not, Kaiser.
Which means that Yah hasn't executed prophecy in regards to what we're reading as of yet.
So if
they claim that Israel, that fulfills prophecy. Israel been a nation since 1948, but it's not even close to the prophecy that we're reading right now.
Right. And if you had completed that prophecy according to Ezekiel, how can this new thing that y'all said that y'all believe in come into effect? It's virtually impossible. Somebody has given you a fixation of their imagination. Mostly by virtue of your oppressors and colonizers. They took everything you got, took your names, and gave you something that ain't working for you. That's all I'm going to say. But you'll see for yourself. 43 of Ezekiel, they did that to the natives. Gave small blankets, killed off their meat source by way of the buffalo, and gave them some bowels. And told them they're going to go to heaven. Why they got everything on earth. Ooh, some of us never see the face of the country. How naive and gullible we can be. And still awesome. That's why we need to study.
Yep.
We need to study.
We're dealing with the serpent seed, right? And the serpent was able to deceive both Adam and Eve.
Exactly.
And the serpent seed, most often to be envy between serpent seed and Eve seed.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know the depths of the real story.
Exactly.
So we've been deceived. We're easily deceived by the serpent seed.
My. That's why study is so essential and imperative, Cartier. And that's why we tell y'all, beg y'all, implore you to do the work. Put in the study. Burn the midnight oil. And I'm going to tell you, let me make a comparison before we get into these studies. Right quick. A universal white race supremacist, for instance, will find a rock in the desert. They'll take that very rock. They'll burn the midnight oil trying to see what constructive and positive results. Sometimes not so constructive and positive results. They can get out of the use of that rock. Us, because we are so socially engineered and conditioned, simple-minded, foolish, so to speak, we'll take that very rock and bust Jumpsuit upside the head, bust Cottrell upside the head, bust Abby upside the head, bust himself upside the head. That's how simple-minded we've become. Such a sad state of affairs, Cottrell. All of us.
Well, let us get bust upside of our head on video with a cop doing it, and our people will be up in arms.
Exactly. Let us do it. We ain't got a march in us. Oops, upside the head. Oops, upside the head. All right. Let's go. Chapter 43. And I'm not saying that to be facetious or ugly. I'm just showing the evidence how we have been reduced to as a human being, as the people we used to be. But it don't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be the way it is. This is not by force what we're doing. This is not by force what we're doing. It's by choice. Crazy. Crazy as we want to be. All right.
And the Most High gives us free will.
Mm-hmm.
And we are alive because of our free will.
Mm-hmm.
But what does free will mean? It means the choice between right and wrong, life and death, good and evil.
Exactly.
And it's the choices that we make. What choices are we making?
Mm-hmm.
So we see universal, you speak about it all the time, universal white racist supremacy. And people are like, yo, y'all talk too much about racism, white people. But what's the greatest threat to the United States government right now?
Universal white race supremacy.
Russia, their own people.
By way of nuclear weapons. And matter of fact, they got a nuclear site that provides energy for Ukraine. They got under hostage. Who was the one that bombed Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Come on, man. Who got this weaponry? So if you're lying to yourselves and to each other, talking about young supers crazy, I feel for you. I feel for you.
And they themselves are talking about universal white racist supremacy. Because that's
exactly
who Donald Trump is leading, right?
Exactly.
He's bringing up the roots. He's bringing up the core. He's bringing up the hatred that these people have for us.
That's why they
love
it.
And they're thriving on it.
That's why they love it. And if you didn't
see
that out, you're totally confused about everything. If some of us walking dead, dry bone Negroes be right behind the podium, then skinning and spitting like Stephen Fetcher. I said, man, some of us never see the mates.
Well, Malcolm X called it. You like, there's the house Negro and then there's the field Negro.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know the difference between the house Negro and the field Negro, you need to research Malcolm X's speech on the house Negro and the field Negro. Because the house Negro talk about master, are we sick? It's the master sick.
You ain't lying, my brother. Sharpen. I ain't sharpening. Keep sharpening. All right. Thank you very much, Cottrell, for the sharpening. And thank you, Abby. Thank you, fellow students. Let's get some universal sharpening, shall we? Chapter 43 of Ezekiel, a continuation of the mention of this temple. Now, here we go. We're going into the temple, the Elohim's dwelling place, to give a description. And afterwards, he brought me. Who is me? Who is he? The angel? Who is me? Ezekiel, son of man, to the gate that faced toward the east. And behold, the glory of the Elohim of Israel came from the way of the east. Most High come from the way of the east. A good tidbit of information, not from the west. His voice was like the sound of many waters, sort of like a waterfall. And the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw. You know, we described that vision, the Most High did. Cherubims and so on and so forth. That very same vision. Like the vision what I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision what I saw by the river Chebar. Remember we described the cherubims and the one with the wheels within the wheels and the eyes all over the wheels, the four wings, the four heads, and they carrying up the Elohim on top of them, going left or right, to or fro, without turning. Those are the very same vision. And there again, I fell on my face. And the glory of the Elohim.
So,
mm-hmm. Go ahead, Cottrell.
Not to interrupt you, Yamsu.
Go ahead.
But all of a sudden, the vision changes, right?
Exactly.
All this time, he's describing the measurement of the temple.
Exactly.
Now, all of a sudden, he's witnessing the presence of the Most High again, in the temple, that he's being taken a tour through.
Right, which is why he said, I fell on my face. again.
Exactly. Not because he's watching the blueprint, because he's actually in the temple and he's experiencing the presence of Yah in there while he's there.
The same experience. He experienced by the river Shiva when he was introduced to the Most High by virtue of those cherubims and them holding up the Most High Elohim. He sees the very same thing, and his results are the very same thing. This is a live going thing. This is a live thing of what this temple is. It is already created. It is already designed. The mission is already there. And it will be in place when the Most High wants it in place. And he goes, because this got to be, this can't be a figmentation of his imagination. This got to be an actual scene which he is experiencing. I mean, it's actually already somewhere waiting. And the Most High introduced himself through this temple by way of his description. And his results are indicative of one's actually seeing something. And he says,
yes.
Thank you, God.
Because we read yesterday that the place that he showed him yesterday, which he read, the Most High said, this is the place where the priest will offer the sacrifices to me, right?
Exactly.
And him being a priest, he's allowed to be in the spaces that he's in.
Exactly. Thank you, Katria. Sharpen, brother, sharpen. And he says, I fell on my face. And the glory of the Elohim came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up.
Excuse me. I hate to interrupt, but I have a question. Right here, the verse that you read. I want to know, is that part of the reason why we're told to face east when we pray?
Well, there's many reasons why we face east, not just one reason.
No, but I'm asking about this one.
You have to let me finish what I'm saying. And I will hand the mic off to you. There are many reasons why we face east. That's one reason. Another reason, we're in captivity. We're not even in our own homeland. Our homeland in Jerusalem is facing toward east. We face toward where our homeland is yearning, as we should be yearning, going home and yearning and appreciate the fact that our Elohim comes from the east. So that's two factors that I know that we face. Especially, you should be facing toward the west. That's where we're at, in the western hemisphere. You should be facing toward the north. Our land is not north. Our temple is not north. Or the south, it's not north or south or east, or west. We face towards the east, as I said, because that's what we fought. We're yearning to go home. We're yearning to connect with the Most High Elohim. And because of the fact our Elohim comes from the east. And that's a good, don't feel that that's not a good, any question is a good question for Saturday.
That's the first thought that came in my mind when you, you know, said that when you was reading it. I know home, but when they said that Yah entered that way, that's why it popped up in my head.
Good question. Good question. Katrina?
Yes. So our people have been scattered where? To the four corners of the earth. We find ourselves west of Jerusalem, right? Which is why we face east. When King Solomon built that temple, he made the prayer that when our people are scattered to the four corners of the earth and they face the temple, we pray, Yah, that you hear their prayer. So you, if you're in Europe, you're not facing east, you're facing south.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in South Africa, you're not facing east, you're facing north. And all of those directions are towards the temple, no matter where you find yourself on planet Earth.
Right. Okay.
So what we're reading here is something different from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yah, it says his princess enters from the east gate. Okay.
Exactly.
That's something different.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Everything, that's why we study. Studies, the redundancy of it will help you acquire information pertinent information that you would need your understanding of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Burn them in night oil. All right. Thank you, Katria. Thank you, Sister Abigail, for that good question. He says, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. Behold, the glory of the Elohim filled the temple. When I heard him speaking to me from the temple, while a man stood beside me, he heard that he goes on to describe two entities were there. The Most High speaking to him from the temple, while that angel stood beside him. And he said to me, Son of man, this is the place, my throne, place of the soles of my feet, where I would dwell in the midst of children, of the children of Israel forever. It didn't say nothing about no heaven. You dying and going to heaven. And forever means exactly what forever means. Ain't no part-time. Ain't no sometime. Ain't when I feel like it. Forever means forever. And if anybody told you some fairy tale fabrication of somebody, universal white race supremacy, they are lying to you. Point blank. It means that temple is where he resides. Not in heaven when it comes to the association with us, to come to the connection with us. That's when you get in contact with him, through that temple. Not through heaven. Where it say that at?
It said, but think about that, Yamsu.
Okay.
Yah wants to place his throne where?
In that temple.
On earth.
On earth. On
for
earth.
How long? For how long?
Forever and ever.
Oh, Lord.
It means
oh, Lord.
They try to make you think that Yah changed his mind like some old silly, simple-minded man. Oh, I changed my mind. I got a new thing going on. I can do whatever I want to do. I'm the LOM. But I lie on myself. Y'all ain't going to lie on himself. Y'all not going to lie. So if anybody lying in this regard, they're lying, not the LOM. Y'all does not lie. He says what he says, and it means what he says. And if someone telling you something otherwise, they're lying to you, and you're lying to one another. Just like crabs in the basket. Now, he says, thank you, Godfrey. No more should the house of Israel defile my holy name. They're not going to be doing that anymore when this come back down. They know their kings by their harlotry, which is going into idolatry, or with the carcasses of their kings on their high places. When they set their threshold by my threshold, their doorposts by my doorposts, with the wall between them, and me, they defile my holy name. And this is what, see, when you ask the Most High to forgive our forefathers, here's one of the reasons. Here's some of the reasons that we are like we are, universally speaking. They defiled my holy name by the abominations, which they committed them, therefore, not universal white race supremacy. They are gods, but we got into prison because of ourselves. Therefore, I've consumed them in my anger. Now let them put their harlotry, going after other idols, and the carcasses of their kings far away from me. These kings that were going after idolatry and leading their people after the very same idolatry. I will dwell in their midst forever. But I done got rid of those kind of people, those kind of brothers and sisters who run after idolatry. But I done got rid of them.
So,
yeah. Go ahead, Katria.
You mean to tell me it's as simple as that for our people? That we put away our idols and the creator of the heavens and the earth will dwell with us for how long?
It's simple as that, Katria.
What?
As simple as that.
What?
As simple as that.
Forever? You will dwell with us for how long?
Forever.
And we ain't got to die to go to heaven?
Exactly.
All right.
All right.
We don't know what y'all saying. Simple things. Put away your idols. And what? You going to dwell with us forever? Wow.
Exactly. Wow. And that's the truth, my brother. Thank you, Godrell, again. And he said, Son of man. Who is Son of man? That is Ezekiel. Describe the temple So he wants the Most High to describe that temple to us as we speak. Not only before us, those before us had an opportunity to see the description of the temple. And now, if you're new to this show, if you never studied what this temple looked like, Ezekiel is describing this temple to you.
So wait a minute. He didn't tell him to read the blueprints and describe what's to come. Was he asking him to describe?
He described what he actually sees that's already in existence.
Okay.
So you can't see. See, books says like the show said, but no wisdom and understanding is what we got a whole lot of books says. No wisdom and understanding mm-hmm. because of that. You said, you said what Constantine said, the Roman of Roman, Rome, you said what the Nicene Council said in your idolatry, what they said you ought to be studying. You said what they said about the mother of Constantine that went to Israel and conjured up a whole lot of nonsense. You said what they said in regards to what the Roman Catholic said in regards to your Elohim. You said what they said about your Elohim, but you won't listen to what your people said about your creator. How asinine is that? Come on.
Because we are just like Eve. Mm-hmm. We are naive. And people throw us off our game.
Exactly.
So I came to a paradigm today, looking at the New Testament, right?
Okay.
The New Testament says all scripture, right, is the word of the Most High.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. But you only find the word scripture in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you find it in the New Testament? Because they were studying what? The scripture.
Mm-hmm.
If you are writing in the New Testament, Peter, Paul, Timothy, what are you talking about the scripture?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the Old Testament, the word of Yah.
Right.
The New Testament says that they are fulfilling the prophecies of the scriptures. That's what mm-hmm. they're trying to prove in the New Testament, that
right.
Jesus fulfilled this testimony. He fulfilled this prophecy. He did this prophecy. So that means that the New Testament is trying to validate itself as the fulfillment of prophecy, but not as scripture itself, because they're studying scripture. What scripture are you
right.
studying? Because the New Testament was there. And every scripture you refer to is only in the New Testament. The word scripture is not found in the Old Testament. Because
exactly.
the Most High told us to listen to his word through the prophets. The New
mm-hmm.
Testament, they try to validate prophecy that say Jesus fulfilled this prophecy, this scripture, that scripture. So the New Testament is not scripture. The Old Testament is the scripture that the writers of the New Testament was trying to validate as being fulfilled in prophecy.
Exactly. Because they want you to eradicate what the Most High is. They want you to say what they said. Let me tell you something about the Romans and the Greeks and their association with the red letter people. Their association with the red letter people and the creation of the stagmatician of their imagination is simply this. They saw Israel were in their shoddy state, even at their state, because the Romans and the Greeks didn't have one God. They had different entities. And they saw how unusual and useful to get someone to believe in a one entity as a nation to control that psychological. Well, man, you see how they use? Man, they got this one God, these Israel, even though they are hot mess, but they are controlled and dictated, even though they were not being scripture according to the Most High at that time. They still had a value to them. Like I said, the Greeks and the Romans would take a rock and study it and use it, but they had banned it. And they still study us as a people and how to use this mono God to our advantage as a nation. And they still use it. They're not trying to find the Elohim. They are users. And they use it so well, they done got you confused about everything. They done told you, no, your Elohim dead. He's an old man. He fell off the throne. Now we got a new thing going on. We tell you all the prophecies of the sea. Don't even worry about that old stuff. We got some new stuff going on. They give you new sex. They give you new health care. They give you new leaders, such as the case of Donald Trump, and ain't none of them worth two dead flies. And we ain't figured, aren't you tired of being okie doke on? Aren't you tired of someone taking your LOM and then creating something and using it to control you, further control you, and control other nations by virtue of that fabrication of their imagination? So-called Constantine, the Roman of Italy, the leader of Rome, his mother goes to Israel, and she finds out about some scripture, about some Jesus and Peter, Paul, Mary, Sally, and John. She comes back and said, I got the Elohim. Everything, why is it fulfilled? I'm a white woman. You need to listen to what I said. Then my son gets holy and uses to control his nation. Why is that right like this? Because I'm a white man. You niggas listen to what I said. Nobody ask me no questions, and that's what we do. We listen to what they say, and we don't ask no questions. We don't investigate nothing. We take everything they said for granted, and look what they've done for us and to us in 402 years and counting. Don't you ought to be look at yourself and look at yourself as a hot. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We let our oppressors and colonizers tell us who our Elohim is. And we sit there, oh, that nigga crazy. Why? Because the white man said he is. Y'all so crazy as he was. Why is y'all so crazy? Because the white woman said he is. And that nigga crazy as he wanna be. Man, we a hot mess. And I love us though. Because I'm a hot mess too. But thing is this, I'm trying to get out the hot messness. I'm trying to follow what y'all says. I'm trying to get to this spot when I get in that spot, okay? So I don't listen to universal white race supremacists. I don't listen to universal white race supremacy, man or woman, because that system never should have been in this system. It's a criminal organization that has stolen your LOM, turned it into some nonsense, some hokey-doke nonsense going on, and telling you that he's dead. And you can do whatever you want to do, however you want to do. Just come as you are, and you're going to, out of everything you got left, you just go to heaven and get what you need. A bunch of nonsense. A bunch of poppycock. Go ahead, country. Is that me over there laughing? Go ahead, country.
No.
Well, for me, man. You beating the dry bones. They call it beating the dead horse.
They're going to run off. They're going to run off, country.
Most times they're going to revive these dead bones. Well, we got to prophesy to the bones to let them know there's a future for us. Mm-hmm. In spite of all that we've been through as a nation, as a people, thousands of years, most of loves us. And he got a hope in the future for us.
Exactly.
And all we got to do is just comply. You know, read our faults and fallacies, learn from them, communicate with we want to change, want a new heart, a new spirit, so we can be a part of his salvation. All the salvation that man is selling us, his deception doesn't match what you're providing, what you say you're going to do for us. So that's why we study chapter by chapter. What does Yah say? And ain't nobody teaching us this. We're trying to find out for ourselves. And based on what we're finding out for ourselves, this is why they don't teach us what's in here. Okay?
Exactly. Lucatria, when we start talking like that, sometimes we have guests from Maryland. And as soon as jumpsuits start telling the truth, and we can't handle the truth, that individual may, what I said, boom, there they go. But I am morally obligated to the Most High and duty bound to say and do no less. Every time we start talking about universal rights, either is the CIA, FBI, or either one Walking Dead, dry bone Negro. So as soon as we start talking about it, boom, there they go. It's true. But We're spokespersons for the Most High. And if you don't like it, that's your problem. We hope you like it and get with it and get with the program. But we can't make it sound no sweeter than it is. We can't sugarcoat this. And we're not going to try to sugarcoat the truth. And some people, simply like that movie, A Few Good Men, simply can't handle it. All right, Katria.
So, yeah, man, and you talk always about universal, we talk about universal white race supremacy, but it's the biggest threat to American democracy as we speak.
It's the biggest threat
universal,
to the universe as we speak.
Huh?
It's the universal threat to the universe as we speak. True. Russia?
They talking about attacking the FBI and the IRS
exactly.
And judges and politicians.
But I'm the problem.
Huh?
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You the problem, gotcha. Okay. So
there's not one Israelite camp, group, synagogue, temple, I don't care what you call us. We've never attacked America. We've never hung white people or dragged white people from the back of a pickup truck or call for a picnic where we hang white people and smile and took pictures. No, we don't do that.
No.
We're not terrorists. We never blew up buildings, federal buildings.
We don't
do that.
Yeah.
But you call us terrorists. You better worry about people like Timothy McVeigh. Yeah, he blew up a federal building in Oklahoma.
And it's a bunch of words.
Yeah, the Proud Boys. MAGA. Okay.
And
well,
then the guy go up in Michigan, tried to kidnap and kill the governor of Michigan. Who did that? They just got convicted.
Yeah.
Who the one attacked the Capitol? Who did that? He had some dry bone Negroes there, but very few. That'd have been you and me go up there. It would have been no hand tap. They had the CIA, FBI, National Home Security, they had the Army, Air Force, Marine, National Guard, they had the Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, and everybody. They had the Dog Patrol, and everything. They had everything up there. There wasn't nobody left waiting there, unless they was in the morgue or on the little cot going downtown. Gotta believe it.
So Yang Su.
Yes.
I got a news alert.
Mm-hmm.
You know the dude that shot up the people in Buffalo Supermarket?
Oh, yes.
And you talk about the brother who cried out, oh, we love y'all. We try to be good to y'all. Hey, y'all hate us to shoot up like this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The mass shooter that did that, he had
right.
a manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a manifesto is, right?
Yes, yes. Crazy man talking.
They said that his manifesto has spread like wildfire on the internet. Feel me?
Right.
So they worry about copycat individuals doing the same thing that this dude in Buffalo, who shot up our people, and Bubba crying, oh, we love y'all.
Right.
He got his manifesto on the internet, and it's spreading like wildfire. So they're
right.
worried about copycat individuals.
Exactly.
And that's universal white race supremacy. Why would you shoot up innocent, elderly Israelites just doing their shopping?
Right. Ain't did nothing to you. Don't even know you. And you took your evil behind and then killed them elders up for nothing. And this brother, my brother, I love him. But he was so naive to say that. I wouldn't have said it about my mama in that regard. I can assure you. Okay? Talking about we gonna love you. You gonna love me nonsense.
So you talk about me going to work at Fear and Heights. Trust me, say a prayer, going out your house, going shopping at a supermarket.
Exactly. That's what you need to
You going to the supermarket? Act like you're going to a 110-story building, you're about to fall off. No. Y'all, I don't want to fall off this 110-story building. No, y'all, I'm shopping in the supermarket. Don't let no mass shooter come in here
where there's racism, prejudice, hatred of our people, to come shoot the place up.
Exactly. And you crying.
For no reason. You don't even know me.
And you crying. You're going to love me. Cottrell, thank you very much, brother. We're going to go on and conclude just because we've been stopping them. But it needs to be delved on, delved into. And it says that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. And we need to be ashamed of ourselves. Let them measure the pattern. There's always a pattern, a codification. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, you have to be ashamed. Make known to them the design of the temple. That's how you go. That's the only way you go see this. Now, you see how Cartier sees it? You see how Sister Abigail sees it? You see how Yumsu sees it? Because you're ashamed of yourself, as we should be. And that's why it'll be revealed to you that what Ezekiel is describing. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangement, the exit, the entrances, the entire design, and all its ordinance, codification, all of its forms, and all of its laws. Write it down in their sight so that they keep it, its whole design, and all its ordinances, codification, and perform them the codification. That is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountaintops is most holy, where this temple will be, is where will be set in place. Behold, this is the law of the temple. Dimensions of the altar. These are the measurements of the altar in cubits. The cubit is one cubit and a hand breadth. The base, one cubit high and one cubit wide. The rim around its edge and one span. This is the length of the altar. From the base on the ground, the lower ledge, two cubits. The width of the ledge, one cubit. From the smaller ledge to the larger ledge, four cubits. And the width of the ledge, one cubit. The altar hearth is four cubits high with four horns extending upwards toward the heaven, the earth. The altar hearth is 12 cubits long, 12 wide. The square of the four corners, the ledge 14 cubits long and 14 cubits wide on the four side, with a rim of half a cubit around it. Its base, one cubit all around. Its steps face towards the east, consecrating the altar. He said to me, which is Ezekiel, son of man, thus say Yah Elohim, these are the ordinances, codification of the altar. On the day when it is made, now it appears that this will be made on a certain day. Seems that everything else is made when it is made for saints, for sacrifices, burnt offerings on it, and for sprinkling the blood on it. You should give a young bull for a sin offering to the priest, the Levites, who are the seat of Zadok, these men will be, who approach me to minister to me, says Yah Elohim. You're consecrating this altar, what they're doing. You should take some of the blood and put it on the four horns of the altar, on the four corners of the ledge, and on the rim around it. Thus you should clean it and make atonement for it. Then you shall also take the bull of the sin offering, burn it in the appointed place of the temple, outside the sanctuary. On the second day of the Sabbath, consecrated, you shall offer a kid, a goat, of the goats, the young of the goats, without blemish, for sin offering. And they shall cleanse the altar as they cleanse it with the bull, the same similar manner. And when you finish cleansing it, you shall offer a young bull without blemish and a ram from the flock without blemish. And when you offer them before the Elohim, the priest, the Levite, shall throw salt on them. They will offer them up as a burnt offering to the Elohim. Every day for 7 days, you shall prepare a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bull and a ram from the flock, both without blemish. 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it. Guess what they're doing? And so consecrating. And when these days are over, it shall be on the 8th day and thereafter that the priest shall offer you burnt offerings and your peace. They can offer for you offerings on the altar, and I will accept you, says Yah Elohim. If you got an altar in your backyard, make an altar at whatever site you're hanging out, and it's not made by Levitical priests in a certain location, which is in Israel, in that temple, you're only lying to yourselves and to each other. And certainly, in addition to that, you didn't consecrate it according to the codification that the Most High. Your offerings are not being accepted, okay? It's not being accepted, one thing, because it is not in the land. Another thing, it is not in that temple. It is another thing, it is not according to the codification to cleanse that altar. Under specification and codification. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cartrell, Sister Abia, you have the mic.
Praise Yah.
Another powerful chapter, but it's a futuristic chapter.
Exactly.
The temple is built, but it hasn't landed on earth yet.
Exactly.
And when it does land on earth, the first time, the initial time, Yah got codifications for it, right? So we just read it. He's saying,
right,
on the second day you shall offer a male goat without defect for sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar. You got to clean the altar as they cleanse it with the bull. When you have finished cleansing it, you shall offer a young bull without defect and a ram on a flock without defect. You shall bring them near Yah, and the priest shall cast salt on them, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering to Yah. This is at the new temple when it lands. 7 days you shall prepare every day for a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bull, a ram of the flock, without defect. 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it. So before this temple opens up for the normal functions, this is what has to be done. So shall they consecrate it when they have accomplished the days. It shall be that on the 8th day and forward, the priest shall make your burnt offerings on the altar and your peace offerings. Then I will accept you, says Yah. So it ain't going to be like when Yah brings the temple down in its resting place. We just going to open up and do business as usual. No, there's procedures before it opens up for the proper ceremonies that go on.
Exactly.
So we know this is futuristic because it hasn't happened yet. Right?
Exactly.
It's just amazing that the Most High is showing what's going to happen when this temple lands and comes on earth. There are procedures and protocols before it opens up for everything to be on a regular basis.
Praise Yah, country. Praise Yah.
And the fact that this is futuristic, right? He said to me, son of man, Yah says, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day that they make it, to offer burnt offerings on it, sprinkle blood on it. You shall give the Levitical priests who are of the offspring of Zadok. And that's futuristic because we know Zadok died, but his sons are still on the earth, who are near to me, to minister to me, says Yah, a young bull for a sin offering. And I'm going to stop there because in Christianity, they say that Jesus was sacrificed, that the law is no more, that there will be no more sacrifice. Contrary to what they say, Yah is showing that the future temple will have the priests, and guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to be offering sacrifices.
Exactly.
A young bull for sin offering, you shall take of his blood and put it on its four horns, and the four horns of the corner ledge and on the border all around. You shall cleanse it and make atonement for it that way. You shall also
take the bull for a sin offering, and it shall be burned in the appointed place of the house outside the sanctuary. We're talking about this new temple. In this new temple, these offerings are going to be made. Christianity tells you that these offerings are no more. So who's right? Is the chapter we're reading right? Or is Christianity right? That the Most High sent Jesus, and there's not going to be no sacrifices no more. So he said 7 days you shall prepare every day a goat for sin offering. That's 7 days of offering every day. It shall also prepare a young bull and a ram of the flock without defect. 7 days they shall make atonement just for the altar to purify it. So shall they consecrate it when they have accomplished the days. It shall be on the 8th day and forward. The priest shall make your burnt offerings on the altar, which means it doesn't stop because Jesus made a sacrifice and there's no more offerings. And your peace offerings, it says, then Yah will accept us. And we give these offerings through our priests. So Christianity would have a problem with this chapter.
Exactly.
This chapter is futuristic. It's talking about the temple that's already built, that Yah is going to place on earth where he wants to dwell. What do you say? He said, after he brought me through the gate, even the gate that looks towards the east, behold, the glory of Yah of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. It was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw. Even according to the vision I saw when I came to destroy the city, the vision, like the vision I saw at the river Shebar, I fell on my face. Yah's glory came into the house by way of the gate, which faces toward the east. The Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, Yahweh's glory filled the house. We can't even imagine what that is. So this definitely is not blueprint. If Yah's glory filled the house, that means the house was already there. In order for Yah to fill that house with glory, right?
Exactly.
The prophet Ezekiel is saying it. He's not saying this is going to happen. He's writing down what he sees. He saw the glory of Yah enter that house, the house he's been describing for the last three chapters.
Exactly. Thank you, Gartrell. Thank you, Sister Abby. We have 37 minutes in counting. And Gartrell, if you're ready for that beautiful song, then 90? We're ready too.
90? Yeah.
Yeah, Psalms 90.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalms 90 is by the prophet Moshe, which is surprising. A lot of people don't know that the prophet Moshe wrote a psalm, Psalm 90. Not just Psalm 90, but maybe 91 too. So we know we love Moshe, our big brother, the prophet that assisted Yah in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. And let's see what his prayer was, because his prayer was way before King David, right? Moshe's prayers is way before King David. And he put this psalm together. We love Yah for creating our brother Moses, who did what he did as a prophet. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. A prayer by the prophet Moshe, the man of Yah. That's what we all want to be, the man and woman of Yah, just like Moses. Yah, you have been our dwelling place for all generations. Before the mountains were born, before you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are Yah. You turn man to destruction, saying, return, you children of men, And Yah is not only praying to the children of Israel. He wants all mankind, all nations, to acknowledge him as their creator. That's what he's asking. For 1,000 years in your sight, just like yesterday when it is past. And 1,000 years to Yah, it's like 5 minutes. Because Yah is from everlasting to everlasting. What is 1,000 years to Yah? Like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. You sweep them away as they sleep. In the morning, they sprout like new grass. In the morning, it sprouts and springs up. By evening, it is withered and dry. Because all Yah's creation has a beginning, a middle, and an end. We're not like Yah. We're not from everlasting to everlasting. For we are consumed in your anger. And you don't want Yah to be angry with you. And he's only angry with us because we don't follow his way. We are troubled in your wrath. And why is Yah angry with us? Because we don't follow his way. You have set our iniquities before you. That's why his anger and his wrath is against us, because of our iniquities. Our secret sins, the things that you think you're hiding from Yah, they're not secret at all. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the sight of your presence. So you think you're hiding something from Yah? You're really not. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. And why should Yah be wrathful or angry with us every day we live, from birth to the time we old people? We don't want Yah to be angry with us all our life. We bring our years to an end as a sign. Because, yeah, the days pass real fast. About to turn 66, I remember when I was 14, because Yom Su keeps reminding me. The days of our years were 70. Well, you remember when you was 14, Yom?
Yeah, vaguely, Katria.
It was a couple of years after Dr. Martin Luther King got shot, Kennedy got shot. We was going through some turbulent times as some young people, wasn't we?
It certainly was, Katria. It certainly was.
Oh, man, it was crazy. People think they're going through trauma now. Imagine a president getting shot, boom, right in the head in Dallas, Texas. We witnessed that, didn't we?
Exactly.
You saw Dr. Martin Luther King get shot, right?
In Memphis, where I reside.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't like we reading about it. It happened when we was children.
Exactly.
And it was crazy. It was crazy. And my mind was like, how do you shoot a man of peace? He's talking about holding hands with white children and white boys and white girls walking down the street hand in hand. While Malcolm X was talking about, nah, we're not turning the other cheek. We will shoot y'all. But you killed both of them, a man of peace and a man of war. And that should have sent a message to our people. These people have that audacity to kill a man of peace. He's trying to follow Gandhi and peaceful process, and you killed him. That's the day our people should learn their lesson about what we're dealing with.
Exactly.
The days of our years are 70, and that's what we're approaching. We're approaching 70.
Mm-hmm.
For even by reason of strength, 80 years. If you're strong, y'all give you strength, you're going to make it to 80. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. Yeah, all the days you live, it seems so laborious, so sad. But it passes quickly. Can we testify that those years pass quickly?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And we fly away. Are we about to fly away, aren't we?
Yep.
But where are you flying to? You flying to She-Hole, or are you resting with your forefathers?
Exactly. I call it living on death row, country.
Oh, yeah. Once a man, twice a child.
Mm.
Who knows the power of your anger? Raise your hand, Israel, because we know the power of Yah's anger, don't we?
Exactly.
I don't think the other nations know the power of Yah's anger as of yet, but raise your hand, Israel, because we know the power of Yah's anger. That's why we're the tail and not the head. That's why we do the things we do. Your wrath, according to the fear that is due to you. Yah has every right to be angry with everybody that's not following his instruction. So teach us to count our days. Yes, so we may follow your instructions. that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Yeah, there it is. Because the only way to Yah is by wisdom. That's what she says, right?
Mm-hmm.
All those that hate me love death. Wisdom is the way to Yah. If you ain't got wisdom, you ain't making it to Yah. So teach us to court our days, count your days, every day is a blessing to you, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And when you say give us a new heart and a new spirit, we're trying to gain a heart of wisdom so we may know Yah even better. Relent, Yah, which we're asking Yah to stop from your anger. How long? Have compassion on your servants. And that's all we are. We think we're going to freedom. We're going to come out of captivity and we're going to be free. No. We are meant to be servants. Because we didn't serve Yah, Yah said I'm going to make you serve somebody that's lesser than you. But you servants, even with your free will. And wouldn't it be better to serve Yah than to serve man?
Yes,
serve us in the morning with your loving kindness. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness. That's what happens to the servants of Yah. Yah satisfies his servants in the morning with what? His loving kindness. He's not a taskmaster. He loves his servants that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So we serving a Yah, a creator, a master that would allow us to be glad all our days. That's the kind of master we want to serve, right? Because the masters we serve today only bring us sorrow and depression. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. And why have we seen this? Because we don't follow what Yah tells us to do. So we've seen affliction and we've seen evil, but it's on us, not on him. Let your work appear to your servants. If we understood the works of Yah, we wouldn't be so hard-headed, stiff-necked, and rebellious. Your glory to their children, because Yah's glory will be upon us. Let the favor of Yah, our Elohim, be on us. And that's what happens when we serve Yah. His favor and his glory will be on us. Establish the works of our hands for us. You can't establish the works of your hands for you by yourself. Yah has to direct you in why he created you in order for you to do what Yah created you to do. That's why he says, establish the work of our hands for us. Because we don't know. Yah knew us before he placed us in our mother's womb. And he gave us gifts and purposes. So we have to know our purpose. And Yah has to establish the work of his hands on us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We can't do that on our own. We don't know why we were created. We don't know why Yah placed us in our mother's womb. But he knows, and he will establish why he did it. You just got to find out. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Any commentary, Sister Evia?
No, all was said good.
Thank you, Sister. Any comments, additional comments, Katya?
This is a pretty deep prayer from the prophet Moses, kind of a little different from King David. But in it, he lets us know that the Most High created us to establish his works in us. And we got to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so important.
Our days and nights long, thank you. Like Katriel said, Sister Avia, Katriel and I know that. They'll fly by before you know it. That being said, we need real wisdom. We need to acknowledge our shortcomings, our inequities. We need to face the truth about ourselves, our limited time here at this juncture. And we need to spend that time trying to ascertain what the Most High would have us to do. Now, humble ourselves in this regard. And to help facilitate that, we strongly advise at the end of every study session, go to the Most High, ask him in prayer, facing the evil for a new heart and a new spirit to help facilitate your understanding and your studies. Because you're going to need it. You're definitely going to need Praise Yah and bless His holy name. Thank you, Katriel. Thank you, Sister Abia. Thank you, fellow students. We don't know where you're going, but we do know this for certain. You're getting ready to get out of here. We love you. May the Most High bless you. May you continue to study with us. May you continue to bless and praise the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Katriel, Sister Abia, any closing remarks? Have a good night.
Just seek Yah, praise Yah, and always love Yah. Shalom and good night.
Shalom and good night.
Yah will gather us, for sure. Yah will gather that us. 50 cents, $1. If you learned anything, the Most High gave you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Show your loving kindness and tender mercy. Show your willing heartedness. Help the nation grow, and we will bring forth the glory of the Most High. Yah will gather that us. Shalom and good night.
We love y'all. Shalom and good night.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. That I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.